Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Well, as you know, we have moved into Acts chapter 22 and into the opening of Paul's message to the Jews in the temple courtyard, where he had just been accosted and beaten by these Jews and rescued by the Roman soldiers. And they were taking him up into the fortress Antonio for his own protection and also to interrogate him to find out exactly what was going on. And Paul requested the opportunity of addressing the crowd below, which, surprisingly, was granted. Surprisingly, I say, because obviously Paul was the center of a riot, and you would have thought that the Roman officer in charge would have wanted to keep Paul as separated from that crowd as possible, knowing what had just happened and recognizing the potential for even greater mob action by the people below, and certainly not wanting to see these things get out of hand. His whole purpose for being there was to keep the peace, to quell riot, to keep things like this from happening, and to subdue them quickly when they did. But in the providence of God, he honored Paul's request to address the people below, perhaps hoping thereby to understand the reason for this. This might be better than interrogating Paul, is to see what happens when he addresses the crowd below. And after all, he has several hundred Roman soldiers who can step in if things get out of hand. And so he grants permission, and Paul begins to address the crowd. And we are going to continue studying that address, or at least the opening of that address, on this Sunday, December 13. Thank you for joining us, and many thanks to those who are mindful that we depend upon the gifts of our radio listeners to pay for the airtime on this station where God's Word is taught. Perhaps you will consider a year-end gift to the Beacon Broadcast. Thank you so very much. Well, here are the opening words of Acts chapter 22. Brethren and fathers, hear my defense before you now. These obviously are the words of Paul. And when they heard that he spoke to them in the Hebrew tongue, they kept all the more silent. Then he said, I am indeed a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and was zealous toward God as you all are today. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering into prison both men and women, and also the high priest bears me witness, and all the council of the elders, from whom I also received letters to the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring in chains even those who were there to Jerusalem to be punished. We'll stop there and continue analyzing this opening portion of Paul's address. And what I want us to see are the dangers of zeal without knowledge. Religious zeal we're talking about. So many people seem to think that the way to test whether something is genuine is by the commitment, the zeal, the enthusiasm, the intensity to which the followers of that particular religion pursue their religion. And that is absolutely not the way to test anything. And Paul is the prime example, and the people that he's talking to are the prime example, and the people that he's talking about are the prime example that you cannot measure truth by zeal. It is possible, yes, it is very easy to have a zeal without knowledge. And we can break that down, I think, into several statements. There's a danger of exposure to partial truth. There's a danger of participation in organized religion. And there is a danger of blind opposition to truth. And all of these things are revealed by the words of Paul in this section. The danger of exposure to partial truth is seen in Paul's upbringing at the feet of Gamaliel and the teaching that he imbibed and that was received by most of the Jews that he was talking to. All of it, well, I have to back up on that statement. I started to say all of it was true. No, it wasn't all true, but a great deal of it was true, but it was only part of the truth. And what it was the truth of the Old Testament scriptures without the clarity about the promised Messiah. That was the part that was not clear. And so they had exposure to partial truth, exposure to all of these details and elements of the Old Testament, particularly the Mosaic law, all of those regulations. Of course, many things had been heaped up on top of the regulations that God gave to add even more man-made regulations on top of the divinely given ones. And that's where we can say that it was not all truth. It was not simply exposure to partial truth, but it was also exposure to error mixed in with truth. But the real problem was their failure to understand the very scriptures that they thought they were so well taught in when it came to this particular and central truth about the Messiah. All of these scriptures given by God to point to the Messiah, to prepare for the Messiah, to reveal the Messiah, and they missed it all. And they missed it not because they were ignoring the Word of God, but because they were so focused upon parts of the Word of God that they missed the most important part. And dear friends, that is not unique to the Jews. I see that very present around me today. I see that in my own past, and I thank God for bringing me to an understanding in many areas that that is what was true in my understanding and misunderstanding in some of the aspects of my upbringing in days gone by. And if I'm honest, I realize that it's still possible for this to be true of me today, and therefore I must continually go to the Word of God and cry out to God to reveal to me if I'm missing something, even in my intense study of His Word. I thank God for His Word. I thank God for the privilege of studying His Word. I thank God almost daily for the privilege of teaching His Word to others because, as every teacher knows, I learn more by preparing to teach others than the people that are listening to me learn, no doubt. That was true in my case when I was on the other end of things. When I was being taught by others, I received a great deal of help from them, but I didn't receive as much, I'm sure, as the people who were preparing and teaching me received from the process of that preparation and teaching. And so I thank the Lord for that. Sometimes I think I am one of the most fortunate Christians in all the world. I have the privilege of spending multiplied hours every week studying the Bible and preaching and teaching the Bible. I can't think of anything that is more precious, more delightful, more desirable. And yet I recognize that when I see the life of Paul, it's possible to do all that and still miss essential truth. It's possible to be exposed to partial truth and miss some of the most important truth because I'm focusing so thoroughly upon other parts of truth, and actually in the process distorting them out of their true balance with other truth and out of their relationship with other truth. It's very possible to do that. You can be in the midst of truth and miss the truth that is most important to your soul. Or you can miss other major truths in the Bible, all the while clinging to less significant ones. That's why most of the Jews missed their Messiah when he came. They missed the birth of Christ, Christ being the Messiah. They missed that. Well, they knew that there was the birth of a man named Jesus. They knew about that, but they missed the significance of it. They missed who he really was. That's why the disciples of Christ missed the doctrine of the resurrection and even had difficulty comprehending his teaching about his crucifixion. They missed it, all in the midst of their exposure to truth. They were being taught by the master teacher, and they missed all that. And that's why the Apostle Paul missed the Messiah in the very, very midst of his study of the Word of God. Missed the Messiah who was present during his lifetime when he was in Jerusalem, and he missed it. And that's why I'm saying to you, dear friend, that you can go to the best church and still miss essential truth. You can attend the best schools and still miss essential truth. You can, dear friend, be a church member, an active church member, a Bible-studying church member, and still miss Christ, still miss salvation. Don't let that be you. The danger of exposure to partial truth, which can keep you from absorbing the most important truth. And you see, the very process of exposure to truth tends to make us sluggish. We take it for granted. Sometimes those who are in places where they're not privileged to have very much exposure to truth can be so eager. Sometimes people will come to our church and they are just blown away. They are being taught the Word of God in a way that they have not been before in whatever churches they were in, even though they are Christians who know the Lord and sought the Lord and sought the truth, want to know what God is saying to them from His Word, but weren't getting very, very much of that where they were. And God brings them to our church, and sometimes they're just amazed and so enthusiastic about what they are hearing. So, and here's the point, so much more enthusiastic about what they're hearing than people who have been part of our congregation for years and for decades. Why is that? Sometimes, oftentimes, those who are relatively new to our ministry have a seemingly a far greater appreciation for our ministry than people who have been there for many, many years, who sometimes just have a ho-hum. Yeah, we're glad. We're thankful for our church, but after all, it's not the only church in the world, and it's not. After all, it's not the only good church in the world, and it's not. After all, there are many other good churches in this country, and there are, if you can find them, though they're not always easy to find. But the problem is that exposure to truth can make us very sluggish if we're not aware of that potential. And we fight that tendency very intentionally. Please understand that if you're privileged to be in a place where you are being taught the Word of God, you are in the place of greatest privilege. You better not treat that lightly. You better not take that for granted. You'd better not assume that that privilege is available whenever and wherever you might be, wherever you might go, and whenever you might be interested in it. It's heartbreaking for pastors to see people who just sort of drift away, lose interest, get caught up in other things, because they seem to take the attitude, well, the Bible's always there, and churches are always available, and I can find the truth whenever I want it. Dear friend, I seem to remember a proverb that says, buy the truth and sell it not. In other words, pay the price to get a hold of it and don't let it go. Hold on to it, value it, treasure it, guard it, protect it when you have it, because it's not easy to acquire. It's acquired at great price. It's acquired at great cost, great sacrifice in most cases. And when it is acquired, it needs to be highly valued. You don't give it away easily. You don't sell it cheaply. Buy the truth and sell it not. That should be our attitude when it comes to the Word of God. And may God help us to have that attitude. And may we be aware of the danger of exposure to partial truth. Here's another application of that. Many times people who have a good exposure to truth, that they're exposed to a good source of Bible teaching, a good solid church, a good solid ministry, they learn a lot of things and assume that they don't have anything more to learn. They assume, because they've had exposure to good Bible teaching over many years, that they don't have much more that they can learn. Oh, they're glad that other people are coming along and learning what they learned in the past. They're thankful for new people who are discovering this source of truth, and they're appreciative that it's available for other people, but they themselves don't value it so highly anymore. They don't sense that they need it so much anymore. Wrong! You need it just as much today as you did 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. You never outgrow your need for truth. You never outgrow your potential to advance in the truth. You never outgrow that. So watch out for the dangers that can come by exposure to partial truth. You need to understand that in reality, every one of us have only had exposure to partial truth. There's still more that we need to learn. There's still areas for us to grow. Many times the reason we haven't learned at all is because God's truth is like I've often likened it to building a brick wall. And there are certain truths that have to be in place before other truths can be understood and appreciated. And you can be exposed to certain truths, but if you don't have the prior foundation that you need to be able to understand those properly, then you're not going to understand them, to absorb them, for them to really become effective in your life. But in the passing of time, they will become better understood. They will become important to you. They will become essential in your life if you keep on this process, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Just keep building the wall. Another brick, another brick, another brick, another brick. Now you finished another row. Another brick, another brick, another brick, another brick. Now you finished another row. It keeps going up, keeps going up. And the more you do that, the more you benefit. And while it is true that you will never finish building this wall of Bible knowledge during your lifetime, you can build a much higher wall than you have built so far if you will understand that there is yet more to learn. Even truth that you have been exposed to, you may not yet have understood, absorbed, and put into place in your life. And so keep building line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. keep building another brick, another brick, another brick, another brick, another row, another row, another row, another row, keep building. And keep that attitude that you can learn more, you want to learn more, you are determined to learn more by the help and grace of God, and never lose that spirit. It thrills me to no end when I see people in our church, now up in years, who have been with us for 40 years or more, who continue to show enthusiasm for the Word of God that they are learning as they are continuing to grow. I was so thrilled to hear one of our ladies just a few weeks ago say something to me about recent messages. I've pastored this lady for many, many years, and I've heard her very seldom ever comment on the sermons, never say anything that made me believe that she was particularly listening, receiving anything, and appreciating them at all. She was there, but I had never seen anything or heard anything from her that gave me intimation that she valued the ministry that much. And sometimes I wondered, is she here just because of friends and family connections and so forth, or is she here because she has an interest in the Word of God? And what a thrill to know that she is listening, she is learning, she is growing, she is appreciating after decades. Thank God. Let that be you as well. Don't succumb to the dangers of exposure to partial truth. There's still more to learn. There's still more growing to do. Please understand that and ask God to help you. But secondly, there's a danger of participation in organized religion. Notice what Paul said in verse 5. And also, the high priest bears me witness, and all the council of the elders, from whom I also received letters to the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring in chains even those who were there to Jerusalem to be punished. Paul was on a mission of, well, it wasn't a mission to advance the cause of God's truth. It was a mission to destroy it. He was on a mission to find and destroy followers of Jesus Christ, and that mission had been authorized and approved by the high priest. Organized religion. It had been approved by the high priest. It had been approved by the Sanhedrin. He says, and all the council of the elders. It had been approved by not just the high priest alone, but by the Sanhedrin as well. And Paul was, in effect, employed by the leading religious body of the Jews, who ruled national and religious affairs, to carry out a mission which was an attack upon Christ and upon the followers of Christ. And the whole point is this. Belonging to a recognized and respected religious organization can and often does bring a sense of false security. Active service within a recognized and respected religious organization can heighten the sense of false security. Now, I'm not saying that you ought not to participate in organized religion. There are a lot of people who take that route. I don't need the church. I don't need organized religion. I believe in Christ. I believe in the Bible. I'm a Christian, but I'm just not into organized religion. I've seen too much failure. I've seen too much hypocrisy. I've seen too many people who called themselves Christians who weren't living like Christians. So I just have excused myself from all of that, and I'm pursuing Christ apart from organized religion. In other words, because you have seen some people in organized religion who were disobedient to Christ and to the teachings of Scripture, you think that has justified you to be disobedient to Christ and to the instructions of Scripture. What makes you any different from the people that you are using to justify your disobedience? After all, the Bible does teach Christians to be actively involved in a local church. You can't use the failures of the church and people in the church as your reason for abandoning the church. The Bible makes it clear that it will always have failures. The Bible makes it clear that there are no perfect churches and there are no perfect Christians, that all of us are still being sanctified and will never be fully sanctified until we get to heaven. And this is, of course, about Christian individuals. And since churches are simply a body of born-again believers, all of whom are still not fully sanctified and therefore sin and fail and need forgiveness and correction and help and encouragement and strength to move on. You misunderstand the whole purpose of the church. What makes you think that the church is supposed to be a perfect place? And if it's not, then you can turn your back on it and go your own way. You need it more than ever. Everybody in the church needs the church desperately. So I'm not saying that organized religion is something that is a danger in and of itself, but I'm saying that there is a danger that must be recognized and resisted. You can allow organized religion to blind you to the truth. Paul's experience, Paul's testimony on this occasion makes it clear that that's exactly what happened to him. Nobody was more involved in organized religion than the Apostle Paul. Nobody was more involved, listen to me now, than the religion given by God Almighty from heaven to men than the Apostle Paul. Was the Jewish religion a true religion or a false religion? Well, certainly as it was originally given, it was not only a true religion, the only true religion. The only religion in all the world that had been given by God. And Paul was a part of that. And very involved in that. Not only a member of the Jewish religion, but actively serving the Lord with zeal, with all of his heart, and yet was participating in religiously sanctioned activities which were in opposition to Christ and to the people of God. He didn't know that at this point in his life. He knows it now, and that's why he's saying that to these people. But dear friend, that's very possible. It happened to Paul, it can happen to you. Just because you are a professing Christian doesn't mean that you are saved. Just because you are an active member of the church doesn't mean that you are saved, or it doesn't mean, even if you are saved, it doesn't mean that what you are doing is honoring to the Lord. You better learn to evaluate everything by the Word of God and keep reevaluating it constantly by the Word of God so that you don't fall into these dangers that are revealed by Paul in Scripture. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.